Our next guest on Downtown is one of America's most acclaimed songwriters. But on his new album, he explores the work of other writers, including this one from Warren Zevon, Accidentally Like a Martyr. Jimmy Webb's new album is called Slipcover, and it features piano interpretations of songs from Zevon, Paul Simon, Stevie Wonder, Brian Wilson, Paul McCartney, Joni Mitchell, and more. We had a chance to talk with Jimmy earlier today about this new album. Love the new album, and it's terrific.
Well, I'm glad you like it. I had fun making it, so it's the most fun I've had in decades, really, because it was a totally independent, you know, production. I cut the bulk of it here at home on my Baldwin, which is just one of my favorite pianos. And I did a couple of things over in Glen Cove, which is really close by. And I never had so much fun making a record.
And did I read that the suggestion came your way from Randy Newman?
Yeah, that's a true story. I was over with my wife, Laura, having dinner with the Newmans one night. They had invited us over. And as soon as I got a chance, I'm you know, going to play Randy Newman's piano, you know, before I get out of the house. And I sat down and played Marie and a couple of my, you know, my favorite things of Randy's. And he just got kind of a funny look on his face and said, you know, you should make a record, you know, which is kind of a funny thing to say because I've made a dozen records, but I never made one without the vocal. So it kind of took me back to my college days where I was playing jazz with a quartet and really relying on my skill at the piano and much more so than, I mean, this was before singer-songwriters were a phenomenon, and it was before the Beatles played the Ed Sullivan Show. And, you know, I did my fraternity parties, and I played Blue Rondo a la Turk. I know that may be hard to believe, but I did learn how to play it. And, you know, all of a sudden it was like, wow, it's so much fun just playing the piano, you know, and people enjoy it. And so Rigger, I cut one track of Marie and I sent it to him, and he liked it. And Lenny Waronker heard it and he liked it as well. And, I ended up shopping a deal over at BMG. I didn't do a thing. It was really my wife. They thought it was a good, I was really surprised. Suddenly I had a budget. I had a label. There were no strings attached. It was just me and Fred Guardino, you know, over it in Glen Cove, which, as I said, the next town over. So, we went in there and we made short work of it. I think we probably cut it in no more than a couple of weeks.
Well, what I love about it is the intimacy of it. And it reminds me so much of your live shows that when you were here playing, singing, and telling stories. And this album gives you the feeling of being right there in the room with you, listening to you play songs by some of your favorite writers.
Well, it is. It's in my living room. Yeah, well, songs, you know, I mean, the assumption is that I'm only going to play my songs, and that that I think there's a kind of a more subtle sort of an assumption that songwriters are only interested in their own songs sometimes. And there are so many songs that, I mean, they cut me. I mean, they're so deep in my life experience. You know, people come up to me after shows and say, you know, you wrote the soundtrack to my life. You know, well, thank you very much. You know, I didn't know I was doing that, but God bless you for saying that. And it gives me a reason for living, you know, and a reason for being here. There were other people who wrote the soundtrack to my life, and some of them, I would say, probably that the folks represented on this album are among the greatest songwriters of my generation. But that doesn't mean that there aren't other songs out there, and I guess there's a kind of a mission behind all this, and that is that to announce, you know, the Great American Songbook Part 2, and decry the idea that all of the great stuff was written, you know, after the war and before Elvis Presley, you know?
Absolutely, and you've chosen so well from, you know, everybody from Paul Simon to Warren Zevon, Paul McCartney, Stevie Wonder, Brian Wilson, Joni Mitchell. A couple of my favorites, one of them is a song that I wasn't familiar with, a Rolling Stones song, Moonlight Mile. I love that. That's one of my favorites on the album.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of my favorite songs. That's something that I think the Rolling Stones have been enormously creative. You know, there's a tendency to think of them in one kind of genre, but if you examine their career, you see that's just not true. And there were so many. Ruby Tuesday and a lot of like departures from R&R per se that were like kind of folk influenced, and I think that's the first time they used on a full on symphonic string section, and I believe the arranger was Jack Nitzsche, It's kind of glorious.
Sure is.
And it's very much a piano song. If you listen to the original record, the piano's definitely, I couldn't tell you right offhand who it is, but I know it's one of those red hot Nashville piano players. And he was just all over that track. And it must have been a series of decisions where somebody said, you know, that's really pretty. Probably started with piano. Let's put strings on this, and it was just the rawness and the power of Jagger's voice stacked up against the silky, you know, the depth of the strings, and this great piano player who kind of plays. It was a Nashville record, and the style is definitely slip key.
A little Floyd Kramer on there, right?
Yeah, some say slip note, but I've always heard slip key. And at first I was going to call the album Slip Key, and then I ended up changing my mind and calling it Slip Cover.
We're talking with Jimmy Webb here on Downtown. The new album is indeed called Slip Cover, piano interpretations of some terrific songs, and one from a period that sometimes is called Baroque Rock in the late 1960s. A great song, The Left Bank, recorded, written by Michael Brown, Pretty Ballerina.
Yeah, it's the flip side of Walk Away, Renee.
Right.
And I think I think it was a follow-up. I think they put it out. They flipped the record over.
They did, yeah.
It's you know, very much a classically influenced record. It has a music box. It sounds a little bit like a German Baroque influenced record. And it sort of, their moment was a fleeting moment in the spotlight, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't great. And that's also my philosophy, is to, because I intend to continue with these albums, because I'm making a solo album next year. I mean, I haven't stopped writing songs or anything like that. So, I mean, I want to clarify that it's it's really an addition to my repertoire, not well, I've decided I'm not going to write songs anymore. I couldn't do that. I would just as soon, you know, put a bullet through my head. Mm. So,
but what's interesting, Jimmy, is in some ways the singer-songwriter movement put people in that box and they became this sort of self-contained entity. And I think what you're doing through this album is to say these people deserve to be considered among the great American composers, not simply as performers.
Yes, I think that stripping... Now, this may be a little bit of whitewater here, but I think that stripping away the production and, yes, even the vocal and the lyrics and just hearing the composer, hearing the melody, hearing it on a piano without any, I did add a little bit of a music box to the end of Pretty Ballerina, but that was the only concession I really made to other instrumentation. So it sort of exposes the song and lets it sort of stand there in a spotlight. And it's like, go ahead, examine it, listen to it, and make an honest decision about whether you think this is as good as something by Harold Arlen or something by Yip Harburg or even Cole Porter, because there's a mysticism about those writers that's clothed in a lot of chromaticism, and a lot of orchestra, and a lot of phenomenal star power, you know. The whole generation of these godlike, or, you know, semi-deities, demigods and goddesses of song and vocalists have, you know, to some degree kind of always overpowered the composer.
We talk about this as a personal project for you. You even did the cover art.
Yeah, it was a joke. If you look at it, you can see that it's a joke. But Mojo Magazine had asked some of us. I know Todd Rundgren was one of the guys, and they had asked us to do self portraits. And so some of them were just ridiculously. They were like, you know, pictures of the inside of garbage can. I used a computer, and I started with a photograph, and then I just sort of massacred the photograph with a computer program, and then I hand colored it, and I kind of borrowed some postmodern art, sort of I guess Klein Holst, you know. That kind of ultra hip stuff that most people don't really recognize as being art, I'm going kind of deaf in my right ear, so I have a big horn blowing in my right ear, and it's blowing so hard that it's blowing my hair up on top of my head, and I don't know. It was just one thing led to another. And then I got to the point where I really loved the colors, kind of a gray, blue, and white. And I thought, if the colors are great, it would make a great album cover. Why don't we just go with it, you know? And now I have a bunch of prints that I had left over in the warehouse. I have a bunch of prints that I'm merchandising out on the road. But they're all numbered. I mean, it's done like a proper work of art and everything. So it's kind of a farcical thing.
I love it. It's the cover, and we're talking about the album Slipcover from Jimmy Webb. Wonderful new piano arrangements of great songs by tremendous writers. Will you be getting up to Maine for some time this summer?
I will, as always. This year I've planned to be up there in August and the whole month. And I'm usually working on at least partially working on some kind of a project. I sit on the porch with my computer, and I'll be working on my solo album, fleshing out some lyrics and playing with my sailboats and meditating and just letting the wind blow between my ears. You know, it's basically what it is. We usually have a clam bake, and we go over to Bridgeport, and we get real Maine lobsters, and we get seaweed, which is getting kind of hard to get.
Yeah.
We used to just go pick it up off the beach, but now you can't do that anymore for some reason. But Maine is a thing that happened to me by accident about 20 years ago, and I ended up I was in a kind of a big, you know, like a punch fest of a divorce, and the kids, my children, desperately needed time away from the combat, and so we go up there to Keyser Lake, and my daughter was 4 years old. And she asked me to stop smoking. She said, "Daddy, I want you to stop smoking, you know, because I don't want you to die." Well, when your four-year-old sits on your knee and looks right in your eyes and says something like that, you'd give it some serious consideration.
Yes, of course.
Because of the peace and the quiet and the pond, I stay on a pond. And the blue herons and the loons and the songs of all the different birds and the hummingbirds. Somehow that summer I was able to kick cigarettes. I mean, I stopped smoking, man. No program, no drugs, no nothing. I quit.
Just Maine, that's enough.
It's just Maine. It's just, and when I get out of the car in front of the cabin, that first lung full of air is like the most precious thing in the world. It's the perfume of the gods, and I think that Maine has always had a powerful spiritual influence. I believe that there are spirits in the trees. I'm one of these. I'm a very revisionist guy when it comes to religion. So I kind of go back to Native American beliefs that everything has a spirit inside, and Maine is very spiritual. It's deeply spiritual, and I can't tell you exactly why, but I think it has something to do with all the trees around, and it gets a grip on you, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, it's time to go back to Maine.
It's hard to be out in the woods and the waters and not feel that electricity, that spirit, whatever it is. You're absolutely right. Well, we hope you enjoy yourself here this summer, and love the album so much. Slipcover, the newest from Jimmy Webb. Jimmy, it's always a treat for us to talk with you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Rich, you are a consummate interviewer and a gentleman, and I look forward to at least, you know, being a Mainer for a little while this summer.
Oh, a month in the state. That makes you one of us officially, Jimmy.
Thank you.
The great Jimmy Webb. The new album is called Slipcover. Always fun to talk with Jimmy here on Downtown.